Before Sunday school this morning and before the morning service, I read out of the book of Job in a passage that I think is such a good passage to think about as we begin to look at being immovable for our Lord. And when the struggles of life come and the devil tries to sneak lies into our ears, whether told by, most of the time, by ourselves, the world around us, our peers, our enemies, sometimes our friends, sometimes the devil himself. That those things that are meant to knock us off course, to get us from following the path to heaven and a journey on a straight and narrow road, getting our mind off of the Word of God and the things that He has for us, and like it says in the book of Joshua, to get us to turn to the right hand or to the left and to not follow the path that God has laid out before us, we need something to keep us grounded. Often in Scripture, you will hear that our faith needs a good foundation. And that foundation might be based on a good foundation like the structure of a building. Have you ever been in a building that was not built on a strong foundation, especially here in New York? Didn't have a good strong foundation. Water gets under the slab of the little slab of concrete that it was built on without the foundation. And then the freezing comes, and what happens to that building, right? God says we need a strong foundation so that doesn't happen in our lives. When the water gets underneath and the freezing happens and the stress comes and all of a sudden the structure, the building that God is trying to build in our heart is destroyed. Or how about in the Bible, often it is described as being rooted, having roots. And this year, as we've seen terrible thunderstorm after terrible thunderstorm, doesn't it seem like that this year, that's what we've been seeing, is just a thunderstorm comes in, wait a couple weeks, and you'll have another one come in again. And we've learned some of the trees that's roots weren't ready for that storm. In your neighborhood, in the side yard of the church here or wherever, you'll see a tree that's roots were not ready for that storm and they became uprooted. Or it's described as an anchor. And this week up at camp, as I was speaking to the kids, one of the highlights that me and my family had is while the other kids were at rest hour, we got to go out on the lake while none of the other kids were, and we got to go kayaking. Well, we had these little signs out in the middle of the lake that said, you know, children are boating, keep your speeds down to 5 miles an hour. And as we were going out there, one of the people in my family said, Dad, do you think those things are anchored or do you think they're just kind of floating here? And I said, I think they're anchored, because if they weren't, they don't have much of a shot of just staying there, do they? And as we learned when we were sitting in those kayaks, if we didn't have an anchor, sure enough, we'd just start floating across even the lake. Or think about in a river or on the ocean. If you don't have that anchor, then you're not going to stay in one place. And so at camp this summer, the theme was immovable. And so I decided today to kind of bring home some of the things that I had. That I had been looking at, and there's a verse that we read in our scripture reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 6 that says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. And so I got to speak to the kids every morning about being, and every evening this week, about being immovable. For God our Savior and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we talked about being immovable. And we talked sometimes about being immovable because we have an anchor. And on that anchor, I said there are three things you need to put on that anchor. And we're going to be looking at those today, if I get that far. And that's faith, hope, and love. And I talked about having that hope in your heavenly home, having it be a sure foundation. And our hope is that our home, our eternal home, is a heavenly home, whose foundation, its builder and maker, is God. And about living a life of faith and how faith changes our life. So this week, as we dive into the scriptures, I'd like us to kind of get that picture of having a boat and it just kind of adrift in the middle of the lake, and it could go anywheres that the wind desires to blow it unless it has an anchor. And what are you setting your anchor on? What is your sure foundation? What is it that you have your life rooted in? We live in a world today which lacks those things. And as you turn on the television and you hear people endlessly debate what is right and what is wrong, I think we see a day in which we're living in the days of, just like Israel, the days of the judges. They did what was right in their own eyes. And as you think about that, and as you ponder that, what is it that you depend on as right and wrong? If the question comes up on morality, on what you are going to do and the directions you are going to go in your life, do you have something, a standard that you can go back to and say, this is what's going to guide and lead me, and on this anchor, this foundation, this root, I will make my choice. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt where I stand today, because my anchor holds, because my roots are rooted in a solid foundation, and my building is being built on a foundation whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Is that what you have in your life? So again, there are three things I would like us to attach to our anchor today. And the first one is love. And so I put up there kind of a key verse for us to springboard off of as we look at adding love to our anchor. And that is 1 John 4:10. It says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Love that verse. I remember learning it as a child. And as I shared that verse with the kids at camp, there's a couple kids, I think they came from the same church, where they got so excited when I used that verse, because they said, "I memorized that verse so I could earn money to come into camp." And I was like, that's the kind of things that God does, isn't it? I find that amazing, that over and over and over again, God does those types of things. One of the key verse that the kids had to learn in at their church in order to be able to come to camp was 1 John 4:10. And those kids had it memorized. And then they go to camp, and what does the chapel speaker speak about? That same verse. That's the kind of things our God does. And He does those things all the time. And as we pray and as we see God doing these things, we more and more we see that. But we need to add love as an anchor for our soul. One of the things that we are going to rest our sure foundation on. And this love, the love that the scriptures so often come back to. As I was putting together kind of an outline for love, faith, and hope, and as I was reading the Word of God, the easiest thing to come up with points for and to come up with illustrations for, as I'm looking through the New Testament for stuff, was the love of Christ. But it's a different kind of love than what the world has to offer. Because this love is first and foremost a sacrificial kind of love. A sacrificial kind of love. If you'd like to take your Bibles and open them to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I know it says up there, verse 8, and that is the key verse that I want, but I think in order for us to get this, we got to read verses 1 to 11, where it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." As we read that passage of Scripture, did you see in there, I hope you did, that you could see faith in Jesus Christ. You could see an eternal future hope. And then you could see how that was all glued together and everything was started. The foundation of this anchor was the love of Christ. Not a love like the world has to offer, but a world that is first and foremost sacrificial. Willing to give of one's self without wanting anything in return. We're not very good at that. Often when we go to do something for someone, we would like something in return. We feel that if our good deed goes without being acknowledged, that we have been wronged. But God, when he sent his Son to this earth to die for us, he knew that it wasn't something that we could repay. We could serve, we could work, we could sacrifice for the rest of our lives, and we could never repay what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. I was talking to the boys in Sunday school today about how we live in a world that says, and this is something that I hear often, and I think you probably do too, if God is all-powerful, then he is not good. And if God is good, then he is not all-powerful. I don't think there's anything that could be further from the truth, because I understand something. And that God never lets any wrong or sin go unpunished. He keeps record of every wrong that has ever been done. But God, when we were sinners, loved us, his creation, that he made to have a relationship with, looked down from heaven and said, "I will pay the penalty." We sang about the blood of Christ today, and we understand the price that Jesus paid on the cross when he paid for all of our sins. That's what love is. And so if that is an anchor for our soul, the thing that we need to hang our lives on it and to stay grounded in, that's the kind of love that we understand that Christ had for us. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it, but freely it was given to us. And we are thankful for that. And we need to take that same kind of sacrificial love and pass it on to the world around us. The second point that I have here under love is that the kind of love that Christ gave for us is a powerful love. It's sacrificial. And we can depend on it. But it's also powerful. And when we need the love of Christ, we can depend on His love. When the storms of life come, if we are grounded in the love of Christ, we are not going to be blown over by one of these trees. Doesn't it amaze you that sometimes the big, strong trees during the storms are the ones to fall over? And it doesn't matter how big, how mighty, how rich, how powerful we are. If our faith is grounded in the love of Christ, and when the storms of life come, we won't topple over. If you'll turn over just a few pages in your Bible to Romans chapter 30, chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, it says, actually let's back up to 35, where it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. Yet all day long we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If the love of Christ is our sure foundation for our life, what the devil is going to want to do is he is going to want to take even something that appears to be good and get it underneath that sure foundation and then bring stress on that foundation of our lives and to break the foundation, to uproot the roots that have been planted. And that is going to be his desire. And he's going to use these things in our life. Tribulations. Distress. Persecution. Famine. Nakedness. Peril. Sword. Death. Principalities and powers. Things in our present. Things to come. He's going to try to use sickness, sin, addiction, money to come in and to break what God is trying to do in our life. And the only answer to those things not getting underneath our foundation, trying to crack it, is that our foundation is on Jesus Christ and grounded in the love that He had for us when He sent His Son to this earth to die on the cross for us. And maybe today you're saying, you know what? I'm in my life and I feel like my foundation is cracking. I feel like my roots are being pulled out of the ground. I feel like I'm drifting in the lake. How do I fix that? What do I do? Where do I start? Well, here's a good place to start. To be reminded of the love of Christ. which is greater than all of those things. Maybe it's time to get back to the cross and to understand what Jesus Christ did there for you. And how His love that He shed on that cross when He shed His blood is greater than all of your problems. It knows no bounds. It can give you victory over those things today. And maybe it's time to start digging in your heart and replanting those roots and getting them a little bit deeper in the Word of God. Maybe it's time to start digging around the foundation that was built and resetting those forms and pouring that sure cornerstone of Jesus Christ, getting with someone else who will hold you accountable for your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe it's having and knowing that the love of Christ can save you from all those ills and beginning to get back to a place where daily you are praying and praying that the love of God will do great things in your life, because nothing that the world can throw at you is more powerful than the love of Christ. Amen. The third one is that love is what sets us, the believers, apart. What should be different about us as people sitting here that believe in Jesus Christ, that have accepted His free gift of salvation, who understand what the love of Christ can do, is that we are living the love of Christ to those around us. We are allowing God's love to be seen in others, seen by others in ourselves. If you'll turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 13, as Jesus is talking to His disciples right before He died on the cross, He had a lot to say to His disciples about living with His kind of love. And I find it interesting that right before Jesus Christ is preparing to die on the cross and to fulfill the ultimate act of love for mankind, the message that He has for His disciples is, you're about to see what love looks like. You are about to see that love is sacrificial. And you're about to see that My love is powerful. My love is going to transform the world. And you are going to see the power of love evident in this world. And now what you are supposed to do, my friends, my disciples, my followers, is you are supposed to look and see what the love has done for you in your life, and you are to live it for the people around you. And people, I got to say that what has been a big part of my life and understanding the love of Jesus Christ is watching others who have demonstrated the love of Christ to me. And as you look and you see people on the outside of the church and you say, I know what they need in their heart. They need the love of Christ. And if they knew the love of Christ, it would transform their lives. What we need to do is we need to show the love of Christ consistently and confidently to those around us over and over again. Is that going to be an easy task? No. Are there going to be days where we don't feel like showing the love of Christ? Absolutely. But it's important that we remember that Christ showed His love for us, and He has commanded us to show His love to others. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, All will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus Christ said, you want to know and you want the world around you to know that you are my follower? My followers live the love of Christ to those around them. If you are my follower, if you want to be my child, and if you want the world to see that you belong to me, the evidence of your faith in Jesus Christ is that you love the world as Christ loved you. Now, that won't earn your way to heaven. Your salvation was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. But those who know Jesus Christ, and those who follow him, and those who have a sure foundation in the love of Christ, they share that with others. And that's the way that God had planned it. So that as the world looks, and as they want to know what Christ is about, their first interaction with the love of Christ is seeing it displayed in those who know the love of Christ. And that's important, that we live the love of Christ. Christ would go on to, if you turn over probably one page in your Bible, Christ goes on to say more about this. As it says in John chapter 15 in verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Love is what sets the church, those who follow Jesus Christ, apart from the world, is that we show the love of Christ to those around us. Ask yourself this morning, I know, I understand that Christ died for me, that his love is powerful and it has transformed my life. Am I showing that kind of love to those who need it around me? To those who are desperately in need of seeing what the love of Christ can do in their life and how it can transform them? And when sin lets their foundation fall apart, because that day's coming, right? For the person who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the storms of life are going to ruin whatever they're trying to build their foundation on. The storms of life are going to uproot their hearts. And everything that they've been building, whether their foundation is money, whether it's their career, whether maybe it's their physical strength, when those things fall apart, they'll look to you and they'll see that there's something different about you. And when those same storms of life hit in your life, you have something different that keeps you grounded. And they might start asking you, what is it that makes you different? And you could say, I have Jesus Christ as my sure foundation. He is my Savior. He is my hope. And my faith is in him and the love that he has for me. Then you'll have an opportunity to share that. I put some examples here. I spend a lot of time talking to the kids about these examples. An example of love and a counterexample of love in the Bible. I think they're probably stories that you are familiar with, so I'm not going to share with you like I did with the 10-year-olds, but also you can look these up and you can be reminded of them. The first one, as love and anchor for the soul, an example of that is Joseph. As you think about Joseph, in his life, did he face things that would have destroyed other people's foundation? Oh yeah. Would have destroyed, as I think about him as a young man, I think those things would have rocked my foundation. And I'm growing and I'm trying to build and rest myself, my foundation on my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think if I could put myself and go through the things that Joseph went through, it would have destroyed my foundation. He was tempted to do in sexual areas. He was abused by his brothers. He was thrown in prison for crimes that he didn't commit. He was left alone in prison, and the people that he helped turned his back on him, and they wouldn't help him. And Joseph, you look at him as a prime example of how love was an anchor for his soul. Don't you love that at the end of his life, look at when he looks back at those who started all the problems in his life and the storms of his life, his brothers, when he has his brothers on the hook and he could have destroyed them, what is it that Joseph says to his brothers? What you meant for evil, God used for good to save much people alive. His love for his brothers, even though they didn't deserve it, was sacrificial, wasn't it? It was powerful. With all the power that Joseph had and all the things that they had done against him, they did not deserve what he gave to them. And in the end, he took the love that God had for him in his heart and he showed it to those around him. It's what set him apart in the scriptures. And he's a prime example of how love was an anchor for his soul. And he faced the storms of life, the battles, and he leaned on that. And it was a sure foundation during those dark days. And the counterexample that we have is love as an anchor for the soul is Samson. Right? Samson was looking for love in all the wrong places. And again and again and again, you see in his life how when he should have been resting on God the Father and his love as an anchor for his soul, anytime someone whispered in his ear and tried to get him to turn to the right or to the left, and to not keep his eyes fixed on the goal that God had for him, it didn't take nothing but a look for Samson to go off course. And I said a little bit earlier today that we are living in a judges type of world where people do what is right in their own eyes. And they have nothing to dig their roots into, nothing to build a foundation, no foundation to build a building on, and no anchor to keep them from drifting away. And that was the time of the days of Judges, and that was Samson. He is a counterexample. But if we look at Samson, even though his foundation was not sure, he, as soon as the slightest storm began to come near him at all, he was knocked off of his foundation. But at the end of his life, Samson came back to that sure foundation. As he had had his eyes gouged out and was serving the Philistines, he said, God, just one last time, let your spirit accomplish what it wants to in my life. Samson found redemption at the end. And maybe you feel like you're Samson today. I would encourage you to be Joseph all the way. Don't let the storms of life and the things uproot you. But maybe today you find that you're Samson. And you have let the things of this world pull you off course. You have lost your sure foundation. You have let the moisture get under your foundation and destroy what your building was built on. And you need to do a little bit of digging, and you need to replant your salvation. You need to re-pour that foundation, but this time you need to build it on the solid rock. You need to, like it says in Proverbs 18:10, learn that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And you need to build your life back up on the name of Jesus Christ. And today, maybe you, like Samson, need to turn back to the God that at one time was the source of your strength. And you need to come back to Him today. Let's close in prayer and let's examine our hearts. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for giving Your life for us on the cross, for shedding Your blood, and for loving us even though we don't deserve it. I thank You for sacrificially paying for our sins on the cross. I thank You for dying for us. I thank You that when the storms of life are coming to wreak havoc on our lives, that Your foundation is powerful. Lord, help us to spread the love of Christ to those in need today. And Lord, if today is the day that we need to come back and replant our roots on the love of Christ, I pray that today will be that day. And if someone is struggling today, I pray that they wouldn't leave this place without talking to someone who will help them find their way back to the cross and to replant their roots in the love of Christ. For it's in Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.